Trendy is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, must be 21 years or older. Welcome back to another edition of Trending, presented by Omaha, a show where we like to explore the best ways to wager for casual cappers. And we got rid of the casual capper. Martin is done. He was embarrassing last week. He got run out of here, 19.6 to 7 units. He did avoid setting the all-time low, but just barely. So we had to get back into our bag of tricks and bring back one of the true professionals in the space, Mr. Nathaniel Lundy. How are you today, pal?
I am doing fantastic because my favorite sport is in the throes of the postseason. And oh, was I hoping for a last second goal last night for Vegas so that we could have had what is the greatest moment in all of sports. And that is game 7 overtime in the National Hockey League. But Dallas held on. And so I did not get my joy of the game 7 overtime. But alas, we still have plenty of hockey left to go where I'll get a chance to have that overtime.
So are you a sicko? Are you a sadist? Like, your favorite thing in sports is the single most tense thing there is in the human condition, which is game 7 overtimes?
Yes, absolutely. Because, look, extra innings in baseball, who cares? We're going to throw a dude on second base. You're already in scoring position, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so throw that out of it. Basketball, love me some overtime in the NBA, don't get me wrong, or even in college, except it's on a timer. Like, I know when it's coming to an end. I know when it's going to happen. Football, college, pro, doesn't matter. On the gridiron, they still haven't figured that crap out. They don't know what the hell they're doing in overtime. Nobody can figure out what they want to do. Hell, they can't even figure out how they want to do a kickoff, let alone how they want to do anything else. But in hockey, those guys come back out onto the ice, and at any point in time, the puck can decide to literally, like, JFK bullet going sideways, take a left, go right, and sneak past. And boom, all of a sudden the series is over. Yes, I am absolutely a sadist for that sort of sport, and you cannot convince me that there's anything else better than that when it comes to an overtime in playoff hockey, and in particular game 7.
Yeah, but at that point, just, like, sit in an operating theater for, like, open heart surgery, because, like, it's just painful, right? Like, it can go wrong at any possible second and something can end. I mean, that's the level of intensity in which you're watching.
Well, exactly. And if you saw the video from Saturday, I believe it was, the video of everybody out in the plaza in Toronto watching the end of that game, and then just the pure heartbreak that hits their faces as Boston scores the game winner there and scored it, what, about a minute 40, minute 45 into the overtime? I mean, there wasn't even any anticipation. It just all, like, if you went to the bathroom or you, like, disappeared to go grab yourself another adult beverage, you missed it.
Yeah, well, I had to bring you back this week because I didn't want to miss any more of the NHL playoffs. We didn't really cover them with Martin, and so brought you back for that. Also, you know, you are one of the main voices of Denver sports, and Denver is square in the middle of what's going on in the sports world right now, with the Nuggets and the Timberwolves playing the most anticipated series of round 2. So we'll talk a little bit more about the Nuggets when we get into our actual picks, but let's do a quick recap on puck right now. So as you mentioned, Dallas vanquished Vegas last night. I think we're all the way through into our second round matchups, which makes it a good time to quickly revisit any sort of futures that you may like. Now, you have famously told me time and time again that you don't like tying up your capital and you won't get tied up too much in futures, but these are shorter term futures now, Nate. Like, we're talking about your capital being tied up for weeks, not months, not seasons, not the whole thing. So maybe there's a little more value in there. And so, is there any series that is going on right now that, from a betting standpoint, you're particularly intrigued by?
I have been on the New York Rangers for a while now. I just think they're a fantastic team. I think they've got good goaltending. I think their lines perform very well together. This is a team that I feel like, when you go top to bottom, Everybody understands their role. Everybody understands what they are out there to do and whatever their time on the ice is. And then you add to that some great goaltending and, you know, a phenomenal home ice advantage at MSG. I mean, that crowd is into it, as we all know. And so I have been on the Rangers for a while. I did put a futures, and as you said, I don't like doing it, but I did do a futures back at like the end of February, early March, for the Rangers to win the East. And it was just, it was based entirely on what I felt like I was seeing on a team that was just, that was just going to continue on the pace that they were at. I think they're better. I like Carolina, by the way. I want to be very clear. I think the Canes are a really good squad. I would have liked to have seen this matchup, this Carolina-New York matchup, as the Eastern Conference Finals. I wish that the bracket had actually done that, because I think in the case of what we're watching right now on both sides, I think the best series, the best matchup on the Eastern Conference side is what we're getting right now in the second round between Carolina and New York. And then on the Western Conference side of things, frankly, I think the best matchup is the one that's going to get underway tomorrow down in Dallas, and that is Dallas and Colorado. I just think I look at it as an Avs fan. I think the Avs and the Stars were destined to meet in the playoffs. It was just going to happen. The same way that I felt that we were destined to see the Nuggets and the T-Wolves.
So Avs are plus money. They're plus 105 in the series. Dallas is minus 125. Colorado has home ice advantage, right, in the series.
No.
But they do not.
They do not. And I honestly believe that is where you're seeing the difference in the pricing right now of the minus 125 and the plus 105 that you're seeing between the two teams is entirely based on home ice. I believe that if Colorado had not screwed up and messed up their home ice there down the stretch of the last four or five games of the season, I think that line would actually be flipped.
Okay. Well, are you happy that it's not flipped? Are you going to grab plus money for your hometown team? Like, do you like that plus 105, or is the juice still not there? And you'd rather bet it game to game?
What I think I will do. I mean, look, I like it, but look, we pointed it out off the top of the pod. I'm a sadist. So, you know, I like the pain. I am so much of a homer for my Avs that I will that I will, and I did sprinkle it last night on the plus 105 with the expectation that it might come down to plus 100 by the time we get to puck drop tomorrow. That said, if the Avs were to lose game one and we suddenly see that number pop, I will probably jump in again. These two teams are very good. Dallas has the better goaltending; they just do. And in full disclosure, I didn't bet on the Avs in round one. I actually thought that Winnipeg had a chance to take them. I really did, because of how crappy Colorado's goaltending had been down the stretch. I just didn't trust it. And game one made me feel like maybe my gut was right. And then Alexander Georgiev got right and won four games in a row and took care of Winnipeg. But Jake Oettinger is amazing between the pipes. He showed it again last night by holding Vegas to only one goal. And so Dallas has the better goaltending. They're going to be on home ice. Makes me really nervous. But like I said, I'm a homer.
Yeah, you sure are. Well, there's eight teams left. And let's ask the two questions. One is, absent the odds, who do you think is going to win the cup? And then who do you think is the best value given the odds? And so if we threw the odds out, who do you think is going to win the cup?
I think when I look at it right now, I actually believe whoever wins this series between the Stars and the Avs will make it to the Cup final. And I also believe the same is true of the Rangers and the Canes. I believe these two series are going to decide who goes to the Stanley Cup final, period. I'm not trying to take anything away from Connor McDavid and crew with the Oilers or the years that the Canucks have had. I know Boston, I know Florida, I know those are good teams, but I believe the four best teams are the ones that are playing each other here in the semifinals. So, you know, if push came to shove, I don't trust it in the West because I don't trust my Avs, to be honest with you, because I don't trust their goaltending. I think Nathan MacKinnon is the best player on the planet, and I think Cale Makar is number two. So I think the Avs can do anything at any point in time. But that said, them not having a home ice when they were the best home team in the NHL scares me a lot in terms of what they're going to do. So feet to the fire. Maybe I'm doing this because I'm trying to do some reverse psychology. Give me Dallas and New York to make it to the final, and then give me the Rangers to hoist the cup.
All right, Rangers plus 500 right now. I think it's interesting that the Oilers are actually the favorite right now, plus 425. I don't know if that's the best team or they just have the most marketable star and therefore are driving a little bit more public money. And so I asked this last question before we get into today's picks. I asked this to Eddie Spaghetti when he was on a couple weeks ago, Real Puckhead. I asked him about betting the Conn Smythe versus betting the team odds, right? Because like we talk about this a lot in the Super Bowl, like, oh, should you just take Mahomes instead of taking the Chiefs? And so Connor McDavid is plus 550 versus the Oilers are plus 425. Would you get down on the McDavid action rather than the Oilers if you were leaning for him to finally break through? Or would you rather like really juice the odds here and take somebody like Nate MacKinnon who's plus 1300 versus his team being like that 600 range over at Caesars?
I think the problem that I've got, like, let me take the Abs as an example here real quick. The problem that I have with that is look at who the Conn Smythe Trophy winner was 2 years ago. It was Cale Makar. It wasn't Nathan MacKinnon. And you know, do I believe it could be one of those two guys? Of course. But then we've also watched, you know, a guy like Valeri Nichushkin all of a sudden doing stuff for the Abs. And so I think the problem that I have with trying to lean into a star and is the fact that there's some very good teammates there as well. You look at, for example, the Oilers. If you're somebody that thinks this Edmonton team is going to keep going and you're trying to find the value on the Conn Smythe, yes, you could play that if you wanted to with Connor McDavid. But Leon Draisaitl is a machine, man. That dude is a machine for Edmonton. And so yeah. Could he all of a sudden go off? Could he wind up with a hat trick in the finals? Yeah, he actually could. And so that's what gets me nervous when it comes to the Conn Smythe versus the cup winner. And it's where I think the play is different when we talk about the Super Bowl and the NFL versus the NHL and the Conn Smythe and those kinds of things is because look at how frequently in the NFL it's a quarterback, right? Yeah. So if you like a particular team, get yourself the extra juice and take the quarterback of the team you like. In hockey, it can change. It absolutely can. Going into that finals in 2022, I would have told you to put your money for the Conn Smythe on Nathan MacKinnon. And then Cale Makar came out. And, you know, for anybody in North America that didn't know who he was before, they sure know now.
Yeah, less raw superstar bias or positional bias in hockey than there is, particularly in football, but even in the NBA, right? Like outside of that, that 1 year that it went to Iguodala, like it's almost always the superstar on the winning team because you just assume voters, yeah, like he was the reason that they won. Although Eddie did give out Igor at, I think it was, I forget what it was beforehand, but the Rangers are plus 500 and you seem to think that they are one of the best bets for the cup. Igor is plus 1500. And so that is an interesting 3-1 payout versus just taking the Rangers.
Yeah, very much so. And again, we all know that to win the cup, it takes a good goaltender. It takes a hot goaltender. And so, yeah, you could see a Conn Smythe easily wind up being between the pipes.
All right. Well, it takes a hot goaltender to beat you in a gambling contest. So I'm going to slap on the pads and see what we got right after we give Caesar some love.
You know, when the conversation turns tampers, I always go with my number one as Caesars. Let's talk about them a little bit, shall we? Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesars Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesars Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns rewards credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using this code. Listen up, OmahaFull. The word Omaha and the word full. And then you place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great. If you keep those winnings, but if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and over only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770 Stop, licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harrah's, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, Nathaniel, we are back and it is time to play Heart, Head, Heat, or Cred. From the last time that we did this contest, you sucked the first day. You were so terrible. So the first day, fade Nate, and then really back his plays later in the week as he came roaring back and almost beat me.
Yeah, here's the thing, and if you listen to the Fade 5 podcast with Brad Evans and I every week, you know that my last 2 weeks on the baseball diamond have been two of the ugliest weeks in my betting career. And I'm not, like, folks, I am not exaggerating. You can see it on the spreadsheet. Like, at one point, I think I had gotten 3 right out of something like 19 picks. Yeah. I was getting toasted, and some of it was, you know, okay, I missed. Some of it was actually, like, it happened last week. Oh, I'm going for Byron Buxton to have over on his total bases. dude rounds, you know, he goes from first to second, pulls up lame. I'm like, oh, for crying out loud. So yeah, I've had a lot of that. So I do have a baseball pick as a part of what we're doing. But please, folks, take everything I say associated with the hardball with a grain of salt.
All right. Well, I won last week and I won our last showdown, so it's only right for me to have honors. And I've got a series of show me bets here today, Nathan. And I'm starting with it's a pretty basic play. I'm admitting it's a basic play, but the best bets are the ones that win. And I'm going with the Thunder and Knicks money line plus 129 game ones of the series. And it's pretty simple. The Pacers are going to have to show me that they could beat the Knicks in MSG, and I will be happy to hand them my money. I'll be happy to give Caesars my money. I'll be happy to give anybody my money. But until they show me that they can win on the road in front of the most hyped crowd in like the last 30 years in New York, I will just keep banging that ticket. And so that's pretty easy on the Knicks. As long as it's at MSG, I'm on the Knicks until proven otherwise. Particularly with the energy the Knicks are playing, like partly driven by the crowd, crashing the offensive glass, getting second opportunities, making it so difficult defensively on their opponents. Like, I just love the way that they are synergizing with that crowd, and we'll continue to back them. And then the Thunder, like, all right, you've got Luka, you've got Kyrie. That's awesome. But now you have to beat the deepest team in the entire league. Like, I think the Nuggets are clearly the best team in the league, but in terms of the deepest, like 1-8, 1-9, it's just a matter of diversification for the Thunder. They're not overly dependent, even on Shea. Like, if you're going to be dependent on one guy in the entire league besides the Joker, I think Shea is one of the best guys because he's so, like, maddeningly consistent. But then they don't even have to depend on him because they go 8 or 9 deep. Like, you got to have, like, 4 guys have a bad night for them not to get to 105 or 110 and claim victory in the playoffs. So until the top-heavy Mavericks show me they can beat a complete team on the road in the Thunder, I'm also going to be cashing those tickets. Might as well do it together to get to plus money, plus 129.
No, I like that one a lot, although I will remind you that the last time the Pacers and Knicks played at MSG, the Pacers won. I just want to throw that out there for you before you get a little cocky there at the home crowd at MSG. You go back, it's just about 90 days ago, but that's the last time they played at MSG, the Pacers won, and they won by double digits.
Yeah, and tickets were one-tenth as expensive. And Jalen Brunson had elevated it to God status there in Gotham. So I don't think regular season versus that crowd.
That's okay. And I'm actually with you on the Knicks to win game one. I'm just saying, you said, I'm just waiting for the Pacers to show me they can win at MSG. And I'm like, hello.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. The ads may say otherwise, but playoff MSG is a thing.
Yes.
Like, it's playoff P and playoff MSG. Like, it might not be playoff Joker because he's excellent always. What do you got in heart today?
I'm going with this one. We'll go to my beloved Denver Nuggets here as they get ready to play game two after getting embarrassed, in my opinion, in game one and not really showing up at all in the third stanza of that one. I'm going to go to Aaron Gordon to give me a three-pointer. That's all I need is one out of AG. Now, the reason that I am doing this one and the reason that it is the heart pick for me is he's only 1 for 11 so far in the postseason. He's shooting a measly 9% from outside the arc. And the only thing I'm going to look at is that he shot almost 30% from outside the arc in the regular season. So part of me thinks, eventually one of these damn things has got to go in, right?
Yeah.
And so I decided to take it because I can snag it at plus odds at plus 110. So knowing how poorly I did right out of the gate the last time I did the podcast with you, I decided that I needed to start off with my heart on something with plus odds. So give me AG to hit one from outside tonight in game two at plus 110, and I'm going to cross my fingers that this 1 for 11 start that he's got comes to an end.
Yeah, this is what I'm thinking of tailing. I want to hear your rationale for your other picks throughout the rest of the show. But when you say 1 for 11, you focus on the one and I focus on the 11. Like, if he's going to get up 2 to 3 threes in tonight's game, then forget, like, you know, he shoots 33% or 32% in the regular season. So if he's going to get the three attempts, I just like one of them to go in regardless of predictive value, because 1 for 11 means not only is there going to be some regression to the mean, but it also means that he's going to see the opportunities, and particularly against this Timberwolves team that is so tough on paint defense. Their only way to really take it off is like a defense like in the NFL where you have to take the lid off by going over the top. And so they're going to have to get a couple of more wings out there. They're going to have to get some three-point opportunities. They're going to have to knock a couple of them down to unpick that lock and get the Nuggets back to where they need to be, which I think they will, as you'll see in my heater pick.
Yeah, I really do. I throw it out there as one of those. Like, I looked at some of the other stats for tonight, guys that I think that can have an opportunity to bounce back, and this was just the one that I got a little bit seduced by the juice, as our buddy Brad would say, and looked at a plus 110 to have a single three-pointer, and I thought, yep, let me jump in on that one.
All right, well, I like that one quite a bit. Over the head category, a second show me here, Nathan. I am going to go with Jason Tatum under 36.5 points and rebounds minus 109. And the reason I'm saying this is a show me bet is last year, Jason Tatum put up monstrous numbers throughout the playoffs. Like, 36.5 would have been easily cleared. I mean, after 51 point game seven against the Sixers, he was regularly in the 30s. He was grabbing double digit boards. Like, this number would have been like 41, 42 if you wanted to get to a 50-50 proposition on him last year. He's just not doing it right now. And I'm not even like coming down on him, because he hasn't been challenged enough to have to do it to carry them, because the Heat laid down so much in game one. But until I see the last year version of Tatum where he feels he has to have that killer instinct, they feels he has to put a boot on somebody's neck, they feels he has to get up and score 50 in order for them to win, as long as the Celtics continue to coast, which I think they have a great chance of doing in game one against Cleveland, then he can put his feet up in the fourth quarter and he won't accumulate these stats. Because he hasn't not only done this in the playoffs yet, he actually hasn't cleared 36.5, Nate, since March 28th. Like, this is like the end of the regular season, he wasn't doing this either. And then you throw in the other scenario, which is like, give me a 20-25% possibility that Mobley like makes him work so goddamn hard for every point, every rebound, They throw a spider at him sometimes. Like, spider's really going after him. They're not overly leggy from the Magic. They blow everything they have left in game one, which we see sometimes. And then without Porzingis, he's just going to not be able to get in there and get the easy buckets because he's going to have all that defensive attention. So I think both of those are plausible scenarios that they just, like, blow the Cavs off the court and therefore he doesn't need to get to 36 and a half combined. Or that, like, the Cavs come out and just say, we're taking him out. We're daring the other guys to beat us, and he still doesn't get to 36 and a half. Minus 109, it feels like more than 50-50 is a fair bet for this odds.
Yeah, I really like your thought process there. And again, we're talking about the idea of, you know, the fourth quarter feed up, right? And those of you that, you know, for example, those of you that have done some of the bets on PRA with Jokic, there have been some games like that where they don't need him down the stretch. And, you know, there you are in the third quarter thinking that you're going to cruise to the over and you wind up not hitting it because of what happens in terms of minutes in the fourth quarter. Now, the Nuggets are also notorious for screwing around in the fourth quarter and letting a team hang around. And then they got to bring him back out off the bench, which just annoys Coach Malone to no end. But I don't think that's going to be the case here. So I like the logic. I like the fact that it's actually slightly shorter juice at the minus 109. I think this is a really smart play.
Okay. Well, give us a smart play in your head category.
My head category here, if you follow me on the spreadsheet, you follow me on Twitter, you follow the Fade 5 podcast with Brad and I, you know that one of my favorite bets in the National Hockey League is the gift, the goal in the first 10. Those of you that like to bet on baseball, you think of it as the Yurfy or the Nerfy in terms of a run in the first inning, yes or no. Well, hockey does the same kind of idea. You can bet it in the first 5 minutes. You can bet it in the first 10 minutes. I tend to stick with things with the first 10 minutes. And more than likely, I jump on the yes gifts, and I usually would parlay them together as two or three. For example, made an absolute boatload of money this season off of the Ottawa Senators because they would score in the first 10 minutes or allow a goal in basically 80% of their games. It was like an auto bet for me, especially if they were on the road. Well, in looking at the game tonight between Florida and Boston, we are going to play the no gift, no goal in the first 10 minutes between those two teams. And we're going to be able to take that one at plus odds, which is part of the reason that I like it at a plus 106. If you shop around, there are books that have it at minus odds. So I am going to snag it at a plus 106. There's a number of reasons why. First and foremost, during the regular season, Florida ranked in the bottom 10 in terms of goals in the first 10. As prolific as that offense can be, they have a tendency to feel things out on the ice, and it wouldn't surprise me if that isn't the case tonight. However, here's the biggest reason why, and again, this goes into the head and into the analysis of it. On the road, which is where Boston is, okay? They're down in America's Wang. We're playing this one in Florida, okay? Boston on the road, the lowest percentage of gifts in the entire National Hockey League in the regular season, 39%. That's it. 61% of the time, there was no goal in the first 10 minutes when Boston was on the road. This is a very veteran team that is extremely smart with good goaltending, and I think they can keep the guys out of the net in the first 10 minutes. So that is my head pick for tonight, plus 106, for it to be zeros on the board by the time we hit the 9:59 mark.
I was not emotionally prepared to hear the term America's Wang on today's podcast, but I should have been.
I used to live there, man. I can make fun of it all I want. It's America's Wang. I mean, in so many ways, it's America's Wang, let alone just what it looks like on a map.
Maybe on Friday we'll break down all the reasons, but let's get back into it today. I like the analysis. I like that one as well. And I also just like, I like all unders and playoffs, as people listening to the show have heard me say. Overs make friends, unders make money. Things like betting against goals is usually a great way to get better odds because nobody's usually wants to be on the other side of that. You do it only for profit.
Yeah, absolutely so. And in the playoffs, these teams are tightening up. I mean, look, what did we see last night? 2-1. You see a lot of that. Now, that said, I'm not sure we're going to see that between the Abs and the Stars, but we'll talk about that as the week goes on.
All right. Well, another thing that we cannot avoid as the week goes on is one reason I had you on. You have your Abs going, you got your Nuggets going, and I am going to back your boys, Nate. I am backing your boys. My Heat pick is the Nuggets against the spread in games 2, 3, and 4. I am taking them blind for the rest of the week. In game one, you had Anthony Edwards exploding out there, getting the Jordan comparisons, becoming the national darling, all those sorts of things. And then it's easy to get lost in the wash of that narrative and forget that 1 week ago, the narrative was, are the Nuggets the best regular season or best team like in the last 30 years of the NBA? And so, like, yes, we cycled through these things really quick. And I believe the Nuggets are closer to their claim than Edwards is right now. And I'm willing to back that with cash. So they are -5.5 at -115 at Caesars in game two. That they might even be getting points in Minnesota. And basically, I just feel great about getting 2 out of 3 here. Like, right, I think they're going to defend their home court tonight. I think they're going to bounce back. I thought about the money line, but the money line is like -240 or something. There's no real value in that. You got to lay the points in order to make it worth betting. I think they get that one. And then I see them to split in Minnesota, where they might actually, as I said, be getting points depending on how it goes. And for me to lose all three, like, that's why you make a portfolio bet. In order for me to lose all three, it either has to be like nail biters and I'm just going to be watching the best basketball of the year and I can live with losing a couple of quarters, or like they're going to get swept. And if they're going to get swept, fair play, Anthony Edwards. Fair play, Gobert. Fair play, Minnesota. Like, throw your feet up for sweeping like one of the best teams that we've ever seen. So I'm willing to bet that I'm going to win at least 1 of the 3. 2 of the 3 feels great, and 3 of the 3 feels absolutely in play as we get back into the normal course of things. Again, Memphis back at 3-1, and all we're talking about is the Nuggets' dynastic approach rather than young MJ busting out.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think the idea of playing them with the spread, I'll be really curious to see what happens when home court becomes a factor on Friday, when they do go up to Minnesota, in part because they're going to play tonight, then they're going to take 3 days off.
Yeah, it's wild.
I can't stand the NBA scheduling, but that gets me off on a soapbox that I don't want to eat up so much time on this podcast about. I think this is a good play. I get nervous. I always get nervous when I'm betting on my own team. It doesn't matter if I'm talking about the Abs, the Nuggets, Oregon State, whoever my teams are, I always get nervous betting on them. But I do think they beat them tonight. Another bet that I'll just throw out there really quick. I think the team total for the Nuggets tonight is at 105.5. I would play the over on that one as well. I don't think they're going to crush it. I don't think they're going to score like 125, but I do think that they're good for 106 points tonight. I think you're going to see some better ball movement. I don't think you're going to see Jokic have the same level of turnovers. He had 7 in game one. I think they'll tighten up. I think they'll take better opportunities. So I like what you're saying in terms of the spread, particularly tonight. But I also, like I said, a little bonus pick for you. I like their team total over the 105.5.
All right. Well, take us into your thinking on your heater. What are you betting blind, locking in for the rest of the week?
I am locking in on the baseball side of things, which means if I go back to the start of the pod, I'm telling you, Fade, everything that I'm about to tell you. Give me Adolis Garcia, and I'm going to specifically take his HRR, his hits plus runs plus RBI this week. Here's why. Starting today, 4 straight against Oakland, and then 3 here at Coors. He's got an opportunity to go nuts over the course of the next 7 games. Again, he's got 4 straight in, and these are all on the road. It's the only downside is he's on the road. But 4 straight against Oakland, then turns around and plays Colorado. And look, here's what's crazy. With as much strength as he has, in his 13 games that he has played against Colorado, he's never homered against the Rockies. And we got this thin air out here. I just think you're going to be looking at him going nuts. And in his games at Coors, the fact that he has never hit a home run at Coors to me is just wild. Obviously, we're talking interleague, so I know it doesn't happen as often. But let me give you some examples. 27 games in his career that he has played at Oakland. In those 27 games, 27 hits. So there's one right there.
Wow.
And then you look at 16 runs scored and 17 RBI. So just add all the math up and you realize that he is averaging just shy of 2 per game in each of those categories. So I really like him for his HRR. And then in 51 games against Oakland, if I go and I add the games that he's actually been able to do there in Arlington, 51 games, 52 hits. So again, you're just like, if his HRR is 1.5 and he's averaging at least a hit every time he plays Oakland, then all I need is either somebody in the lineup behind him to hit him around so that he can touch home plate, or to be lucky enough that somebody in front of him in the batting order is going to already be on base and he can get me an RBI. So I love this one. I love the matchup. 13 games against Colorado. His total is 29 HRR. So I look at what's happening this week. You get some divisional games against Oakland. Then you go to the friendly, the batter friendly confines of Coors Field here in Denver. And I just think his HRR is an auto play this week.
What's the payoff in the opener tonight?
The opener tonight is a -130, -130. Okay. And my guess is that it's going to be juiced in that range across the board. Now, I know this goes without saying, folks, this is assuming he's in the starting lineup, right? If for some reason they give him a day off, we don't make the bet. This is only if he's in the starting lineup. But my guess is we're going to see this float somewhere around 130 in the games against Oakland. I do think there's a shot that it's going to be closer to 145 or 150 when he's at Coors.
Okay. All right. Well, love the analysis. I like the bet. I like fading really bad baseball teams, and Oakland and Colorado certainly counts. And you know Oakland who else counts?
Oakland's shown us something here over the last week and a half or so. Colorado's hot garbage, folks. If you follow my spreadsheet, by the way, real quick, side story. At the beginning of the season, I said, every game that the Rockies are on the road, take the home team on the run line. So far this season, that is 10-9, and we're up about a quarter unit. And that's only because they managed to keep this last road trip somewhat close. Prior to through the first two series that they had, we were like 5-2, and we were up six something units. It's take the home team against the Rockies on the run line all season until I tell you otherwise.
Okay. Well, I feel the same way about the Marlins. I've been making anti-Marlins bets over and over again on Trendy and using them to be very successful on the show. And now they have to go out and play LA. So, of course, I am taking as my cred pick tonight, Dodgers run line -125. They're getting Walker Buehler back after almost 2 years away. It's not like I expect him to throw a no-hitter or anything like that, but I do expect them to win on their return. They seem to have picked a very soft opponent in order to do it, which makes me even feel better about my bet. They have now won 11 of their last 13, including 5 out of 6 against the Braves and the Diamondbacks. They've beat the best recently, and now they get very much so not the best in Miami. They haven't fast forwarded to October quite yet, and I'm sure they got up for the Braves game specifically because of the possibility of seeing them down the road, but I don't think they're going to rest on their laurels. I don't think that even if they did, their lineup is so potent that I would be worried about them losing to the Marlins tonight. And yes, the Marlins might take one in this series, maybe, and maybe I get burned on that, but I'm going to bet every single time they play them, just like you're talking about the Rockies, and I'm going to put 2 units on it. And as I said, I'll tip my hat if I just get caught up on the show on the one time that I'm not going to cash.
Yeah, this is I like that. There's some teams that you can auto bet against. Miami's one of them. My Rockies are one of them. The White Sox are one of them. There are some teams that you can just find the right spots. Now, the nice thing that I will say is if you can find some of the better players on the crappy teams, that's also where you can find the opportunity to cash. I've been doing that with Brent Rooker, for example, of the Oakland A's, and certainly been doing it with Ryan McMahon, who's the one bright spot for the Rockies right now. But yes, Florida, the Miami, especially on the road. Oh, hell yeah. I'd like that.
All right. Well, you still haven't tailed or failed any of my picks yet, but let me hear your cred bet, and then I'll make my decision of which one I'm going to go with for you.
Oh yeah, I've got a tail I'm going to do. I'm just waiting to be able to get through the list so I can decide which one I like the most. Let me go back to tonight's NHL contest between Florida and Boston, and I'm going to focus in specifically on two Florida Panthers. So this is a same game parlay for tonight's contest between these two squads. And that is, I am going to take Sam Reinhart and Alexander Barkov to each have a point in this game tonight for the Florida Panthers. You can get that as a same game parlay. It comes out to be -120. That tells you how heavy the juice is on these guys to be participants in the scoring from Florida's standpoint. The reason I'm rolling with this one, it's actually a bet that I have made numerous times over the course of the season and managed to cash on, because what tends to happen is if one of these guys do it, the other one does it, and frequently it's on the exact same goal. So even though they, you can find them sometimes on different lines, they are paired together on the power play unit for Florida, which was the number 8 power play in the regular season in the NHL. Yes, Boston is a very good PK. They're very good on the penalty kill, but frankly, so is Florida. But I like both of these guys to get a point. If you look at the regular season, they did this in 3 out of the 4 times that they played Boston, that each of these guys had a point. Last year, in that epic 7-game series where Florida upset Boston, that game 7 win in overtime, these two guys did it in 5 out of the 7 games. So I'm playing the odds here, folks, that if there's going to be scoring, that these two guys are going to be involved in some form or fashion. It's a bet that I've done throughout the regular season. It's something that I did in the first round with Florida, and I'm going to continue to go back to that horse until it bucks me. Even though I'm giving up some juice at minus 120, again, Barkov and Reinhardt to each have a point tonight, minus 120. That is my cred bet for today.
Okay, you're officially out of my comfort zone on a 2-player parlay from the Florida Panthers. So I am calling uncle. I am not going to back that one. I like the no gif, and I like the Aaron Gordon. I can flip a coin between the two, and I think it'll come up Gordon because that's the game I'll be watching very intently tonight, and I might as well align my action with my eyeballs. So I am going to tail Aaron Gordon hitting a 3 tonight for the Denver Nuggets. What are you doing on my picks?
I'm actually going to tail right out of the gate. I like the idea of the game ones with the Thunder and the Knicks. So I am going to tail you on that one. I will also say I love the Dodgers pick. I really do, because, again, pick on bad baseball teams. But I think what we're looking at in terms of the game ones of the East and West semis there, I think you got the right picks.
All right. Well, let's give out one more right pick. In fact, it's the most right pick because it's going to be sitting on our betting bench, therefore guaranteeing victory. Come right back after this break for our Second Guess Express.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
All right, Nathaniel, we are back, and it is time for that Second Guess Express. I took honors earlier, so I will let you do it here, my friend. Who is going to sit on your betting bench and therefore guarantee a win for them tonight?
What is going to sit on my bench is there was a bet you could do for tonight, game 2 between the T-Wolves and the Nuggets, and that was who would wind up being the leading scorer in the game. So not for either team, but just the leading scorer in the game. It is going to sit on my bench that Ant-Man is going to do it again and be the leading scorer between the two teams. Only minus 105 is what you can get that juice at. The lowest odds are actually minus 125 on Jokic. And the reason I want to make this bet so badly, but I know that Joker could go off at any point. Here's part of the reason why that I would make this bet. The reason I won't is because I know the guy that if we were looking at the video right now on the cover of the magazine behind me, Joker, I know he can go off at any point in time. But here's the thing. The Nuggets are not good when Jokic is putting up 20, 22, 24, 25 shots. They're not good. That is not how they have had their success. When he shoots a lot, that's a problem. It's why I like the idea of AG getting a 3 tonight. It's why I think Murray can continue to bounce back. I know his calf's bothering him. I'm really hoping these 3 days off are going to help Jamal by the time they go to Minneapolis. But Ant to be the leading scorer tonight at minus 105 is my Second Guess Express after he dropped the 43 burger in game 1. I think the Nuggets are going to try to do some things defensively on him. They may try to get some more minutes out of Christian Brown to try to slow him down a little bit. Joker could go off. Jamal could go off. But Would I be surprised if Ant does it again? No. But because it's in Denver at Ball Arena, I can't bring myself to make the bet. So there's my second guess express for Ant to be the leading scorer tonight.
Look, Ant's not being compared to LeBron or MJ or Bird, like guys who, or Joker, like guys who pretty clearly made teammates better through their playmaking and passing and things like that. He's being compared to the most like mercurial and lethal scorer who ever lived, right? Like he's being compared to MJ, not these other greats. And MJ would all, I don't know if MJ was ever minus 105 in any playoff game he ever participated in to be the leading scorer. So if he's really going to reincarnate him, this is excellent value. And probably the last time you're going to see this at like anything below minus 130 or minus 140, if he's truly making that leap.
Yeah, he's really got to make some moves. And by the way, I will tell you this, and I said it going into the series, and I'll reiterate it here. I said it with Brad on our pod. Right now, not to say that he can't do it, folks, but in this particular series, stay away from the temptation of betting the triple-double on Jokic. Go back and look at his career numbers against Minnesota. It's not there. Not to say that he can't. We all know that he can go off at any point in time. I think he's the best player in the league. But resist the temptation to go after his triple-double. Find other player props that you like better.
Yeah, I mean, I also imagine that a lot of the game plan is drawing Gobert away from the basket by posting him up at the high foul line or pick and rolls up at the three-point line, which limits his offensive rebounding production, which therefore puts the rebound numbers a little bit lower than they would typically be for a guy who's of his incredible production. So, Nate, I am going to mess with hockey one last time on this show. I did my second guess express because I didn't fully trust myself. But I can't understand how you tell me that the Rangers are the best bet on the board at plus 500. I can't figure out how they won the trophy in the regular season for the most points. I can't figure out how they go out and win game one. I can't figure out how they're in the garden for game two. And it's a plus number in front of them on the money line. Like, what am I missing? What am I missing that they are the underdog at home as the best team in hockey in a game that's not like it's not must win? And maybe that's what it is. Like, oh, Florida's gonna crawl over like cut glass and broken ice shards in order to win this. But like, New York needs to win this too. Like, this is a game that they're gonna have incredible intensity for, and to have a plus number in front of them didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised by it as well. Look, for a huge chunk of the season, the two teams with the best odds to hoist Lord Stanley's cup were Carolina and Colorado. Those were the two. Folks expected Carolina to come out of the East. Folks expected Colorado to come out of the West. This Carolina team is really, really good, led by Sebastian Aho. They have very good players on their roster. I'm surprised as well, because I think that the New York crowd is going to be crazy. Carolina came back and made it really damn interesting in game one. I did not see that coming. When the Rangers had a 3-1 lead at the end of the first, I was like, all right, this is over. I can go mow the lawn. You know, I mean, I can go get some honey-do list things done. And then all of a sudden, after a really boring second period, well, not boring if you like really good defensive hockey, but nothing happened in the second period. And all of a sudden, Carolina started to make it interesting down the stretch, and New York held on. This Carolina team is good. There's a lot of young talent. They're fun. But the Rangers have a ton of talent of their own, not the least of which is between the pipes. So I'm surprised as well that they are considered a plus odds favorite. I think that's I get tempted by that one, man. I really do. Carolina could come out and win. They could. Rangers could also blow them out 4-1.
Absolutely. So I just think it's pretty simple, right? Like, you take the team that had the best regular season record that just won and is at home, and if there's any plus number in front of them, bet it. It just seems disrespectful. Like, just should be like minus 110. If you feel like they're even, just coin flip this thing. Don't put a plus number on the Rangers, but we'll see. See if I'm right or wrong on that one. Nate, you will be here all week, but in between, we got the Fade 5 podcast with you and Brad, and I'm sure plenty of other places that you could be talking Denver sports, right?
Absolutely. You can find my stuff. You can follow me on the X at Nate Lundy, which is the easiest place to do, and pinned right to the top of my profile. is the link to the spreadsheet that I talk about. Much like Brad, Brad and I started doing this together, and we've stuck to it, which is you see our picks, you see our ups, you see our downs. We're very transparent about what we do. We don't put anything behind a paywall. So you can find my spreadsheet posted up on there. Shows all the historical data as well. So that's the easiest place to find me is on the X, at Nate Lundy. And then the company that I help run here in Denver is Mile High Sports, and you can find us at milehighsports.com. So if you want to see what our guys are doing, talking about the Avs, talking about the Nuggets, and even looking ahead to Bo Nix, Zach Wilson, and company with the Broncos, you can find all of that at milehighsports.com.
Well, we did not say the words Bruins, I don't believe, on this podcast, and that is going to change on Minus Three. Hench is doing the early episode. They're recording today. So get in there for your Bruins talk. Lemon Pepper Parlay will be back tomorrow night if you miss Martin on the show, even though I got a huge upgrade with Lundy this week. You can go check him out there. Brett and I will be back with Covered in Glory later in the week to get into one of the last match days of the year in the Premier League. And, of course, we also have Extra Points with Sarah Tiana, fresh off of the roast of Tom Brady last night, which was hilarious. And Sarah was a big part of that. So she'll be back to talk about some of the behind the scenes of that on Wednesday. One free plug, one of my best friends, Kurt Goldsberry, his second book comes out tomorrow, Hoop Atlas. Kirk and I have spent so much time talking basketball over the years down in Austin. It's obviously affected the way I think about the game. Don't hold that against him as you go out and buy his book. It's a bestseller right now on Amazon for a reason. Make sure you add it to your library if you want to be smarter about hoops, and then transfer that over to your betting. So that's all the plugs for today. I'll probably help Kirk out throughout the week. Really proud of him and all he's accomplished. And hopefully, Nate, and everything else, we will accomplish a little bit something this week by making some money to afford more copies of his book.
Absolutely. I'm hoping we're making some serious cash this week. And let's hope that I don't go over on episode one like I did on my last appearance where I'm digging myself out of a hole. You know, I don't have to go perfect, but at least let me start off with a little bit of cha-ching this week.
All right. Well, not too much, though, as I do like to win, but I like everybody winning their best. I'd rather beat you 25-24 than 2-1.
There we go. There we go. That's what I'm talking about.
Let's set that as mutual goals. So enjoy all the playoff action. It is one of the best times of sports, as we keep talking about, and we will have Lundy back on Wednesday. Until then, take care, everyone.